You're listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you be blessed by the teaching of God's word. For more information, visit sunlife.org.au. Enjoy the sermon.
Hey, we've been going through a series at Sun Life Church on spiritual practices. Yeah, and I know that this is not my regular style of preaching because we're more of an expositional kind of church, and we will be looking through the book of Amos after Easter. So start reading Amos now, and we'll spend a good chunk of next term going through that series together. But it was so encouraging how every time, you know, where we're teaching on a practice, whether it's solitude or whether it's silence or whether it's simplicity or Sabbath or prayer or fasting, I'm always getting a message or an email just to really encourage what God is doing here. And it seems like this series here has spoken like a lot to you all. And I really pray that you are just drawing closer to Jesus. You're tasting and seeing the goodness of God. Let me just read you a text message I received last week. I won't mention the name of the person because I don't want to embarrass them. But this was this is such an encouraging text message. This is just off the cuff right now, so I haven't started preaching yet. So just hang in with me for a while if you don't mind. But this is a message by someone here. Someone here, okay? Hello, Pastor Bin. It's a very nice intro. I just want to send you a quick message to say that the entire spiritual practices series has been aligning so much with my walk with God recently. No joke. Down to the exact topic, the exact week, the exact scripture I've been reading. I want to say thank you for your sermons and for the delivery of them in the way it's digestible, enjoyable, and honoring to God's word. I also want to say that I was reading Hebrews 4 this morning. So this was sent last week when I was teaching on Sabbath. And I found that it talks about God's rest in a very interesting way as something that we can enter into, which I just thought this was super cool. You know that's a youngie, right? Because you oldies were not new super cool. It was super cool. And it links up with what you were saying this morning about Sabbath being blessed and almost tangible sense. Anyway, thank you again. God bless you and your family. Love, so-and-so. I find out during the week, one of the guys here is doing some work and there was an extended period of rest and you didn't want to go back to work, so you thought, I'll take this moment just to go down to the beach. And this person here kind of just switched the phone off, didn't want the boss to contact that person. I'm not quite sure whether that's a godly thing or not, but anyhow. And you sat there. You shared with me. You just sat there by the beach. And you enjoyed a moment of silence and solitude. And you heard from God. I had another person who said to me, they've never tried fasting before. They've been following Jesus for like 2 decades, 20 years, and have never tried fasting. And you tried it for the first time. And you were hungry, but you heard God. I just want to say this, keep it up. The spiritual practices is to help you draw closer to God through His Spirit. Try simplicity. Try Sabbath. Try silence. Try prayer. Try fasting. And my prayer is that you will just keep drawing closer to Jesus. That's the goal behind this series here. You know, if you noticed that earlier on during the dedication, I read something from Deuteronomy. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Deuteronomy 6. Verses 5 onwards, it says this, I'll read the word of God again. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie these words as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You know, it's a picture here where God is instructing His people to write down His word, His law, on objects that they can see. And the purpose is to instruct them to direct their mind towards modes of thoughts about God. So every time they would see a passage, it reminds them of God. Later on in Deuteronomy, it's repeated in chapter 11. If you have your Bible, a few pages to the right, verses 18 onwards. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and in your mind. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gate. Again, God is reminded the importance of writing his words around the places so that you can see his words, so that you can direct your thoughts towards God. Now, we move to the New Testament, and these words or these laws are no longer written on our foreheads or on our hands or on the door or the frames. We know now in the New Testament, God's word is now written in our minds and on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. That's why when we read Romans 2 or 2 Corinthians 3 or Hebrews 8, the authors will always say, God's word now is in our hearts, on our minds. And there's something so important about having God's word in us. Charles Spurgeon, he says this, the man who has the law of God written on his heart, first of all, knows it. God's Spirit has taught him what is right and what is wrong. He knows this by heart, and therefore he can no longer put darkness for light and light for darkness. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are to saturate our minds and our heart with God's word. And when we have God's word in our minds and heart, it directs our mind towards God himself. That's why this morning's discipline on study is very important. The spiritual discipline of study is right up there if you want to taste and see the Lord is good. And you're like, study? Like, that's what I did when I was in a high school. Is that really a discipline? It's not as glamorous like solitude and simplicity and fasting and all that. Yes, it is a discipline. And it is something that I believe all followers of Christ must pursue. If you want to grow in your intimacy with God, if you want to have your mind drawn towards the goodness of God, you must saturate your mind and your heart with God's word. And that's through the discipline of study. The late John Stott, he says this, that Christians who neglect the Bible simply do not mature. And I want to talk about study this morning here. It's very important for us as a community to actually know God with our minds as well. Not just only our hearts, but we have to be thinkers and actually know God for who he is. And you know, Jesus once said this in John 8:32. He says, then you will know knowledge of the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth will set you free when you have knowledge of the truth, when you actually know what you believe in, when you know what God has done for you. That knowledge of the truth is very, very important. Jesus was once challenged, remember, by some Pharisees, and they asked him, well, what's the greatest commandment? And what did he say? He says, what? To love the Lord your God, in Mark 12, with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. We are to love God with our hearts, yes. We're to love God with our soul and our strength, yes. But the text is very clear. We are to love God with our minds as well. We are to know the word of God. We are to know what he has done for us. And when God's word is in the mind, we actually love him the way he wants us to love him. You know, Paul, he once wrote to the Romans, and that famous chapter about being transformed by the renewal of the mind in Romans 12. You remember that, right? The mind, listen carefully, will only be renewed, right, by the very things that transforms us into the likeness of God. And the very things that transforms us into the likeness of God is God's word. And so you want to be transformed by the renewal of the mind, your mind has to be saturated with the word of God. You have to study and actually think it through and know God for who he is. You know, my boys are in the auditorium now. They're in the youth ministry, and I got to be very careful how I use sermon illustrations these days, because, you know, they're not going to like it. And a wise pastor friend of mine said that every time you use your kid in a sermon illustration, that's $10. $10 per illustration. So boys, go and find your mum. There's $10 there. But you know, I often said to my boys, be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you associate yourself with. Garbage in, garbage out. Beauty in, beauty out. What comes in will come out. Certain habits will be formed by what we study. Godly habits will be formed when we study God's word. And that's why it's so important that if we want to really have habits that would bring glory to God, we have to know His word. We have to be people of the word of God, students of the text. Richard Foster, in his great work, he says this: what we study determines the kind of habits that are formed. And my prayer is that we would learn to be a community that study the word of God. That is a discipline that we really want to work on. Because if you remember when Paul wrote to the Philippians, at the very end, in the last chapter, he said this to the Philippians in chapter 4, verses 8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellent, if there is any worthy of praise, think about these things. The Greek word think here is to ponder, to really study intently. And what Paul is saying is that you are to think about the Word of God. You are to study the Word of God, and that will lead to things that are pure, lovely, excellent, worthy of praise. And so I want to talk about the discipline of study, and then I'll end up with some practical tips that you can study, and you can all do that this week. And next week, you can come and tell me everything that God's been saying to you through the text. Amen. So if you have your church app, open up the church app. There are some notes there for you right now. If you want to get a pen and paper, get it out. Get your Bible open. So let me pray, and we'll just talk together and learn together. Father God, I pray now that as I begin to teach, Holy Spirit, will you just teach through me, and that we will just leave this morning encouraged to love you through your word even more. Would you be with me? Would you give me your strength? Give me clarity of speech. Help everyone here to listen with their eyes and their hearts. Oh Lord, we love you. We want to love you even more, not only in our hearts, but also in our minds. Bless this sacred time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know, I want to talk about what is study and how to study. So let's talk about what is study. This is what study is. Is that when we pay close attention to the subject, it will move us to a certain direction. Whatever you study will move you towards it. Think about that. If you study sport, you move towards sport. If you study music, you move towards music. So the spiritual discipline of study is studying God through Scripture, through the Bible, through the biblical text. And as you study God through the text, you are moving towards God. As you enter into study, you have to learn to be humble. Before you even read the text, before you start reading the text, you cannot say, I know it. I know it all. I know what this is all about. No, you have to come with a posture of humility. The discipline of humility is so important when it comes to the text. We have to slow down. We have to quieten ourselves. We have to read slowly. We have to absorb the very word of God, and we let God read us through the text. What I mean by that is this, is that one of the dangers in study is that we come in with preconceived ideas. Like we come in going, I've heard it all before, I know it all. I know the ending of this passage, I know what it's all about. And we're letting our mind read the text. But the goal is to say, no, I come before you and your word, God, humbly, and let you read me. Let you speak to me. My hands, my heart are open to whatever you want to say to me. I'm a blank canvas. So we stand as people who are now student, and God's word will be the great teacher through His Spirit. We stand under the authority of Scripture. We are humble. We are teachable. We begin to read and we observe God's word. We listen to God through His Spirit. We reflect, and ultimately we allow God's word to speak to us through His Spirit, and we are transformed. That is study. You come and you read the text with a humble and pure heart, ready for God to speak to you. Charles Spurgeon, he says this, Bible study is the metal that forges the Christian. You want to be a strong, robust Christian, you have to be studying the Word of God. I don't know whether that's something that you do. There is a difference between study and Bible reading. There is a difference between devotional reading and study. Study is when we come and we say, God, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to slow down. I want to hear from you. I want you to teach me things that I need to change or I need to grow in. I'm ready for you. We don't rush the process. We take our time. And we do this with an intention to let God read us as He highlights to us areas that we need to change so that we change for His glory. That is study. Now, how do we study? Well, the acronym that I like to use is COMA. Somewhat unfortunate, right? COMA. And I know there's a lot of medical people right there, okay? So hopefully you remember this. So when I approach the text, as I study the text, I'm always thinking about coma. Not the food coma where I've had too much to eat and I'm sleeping away. No. COMA is the acronym. Here we go. C, context. We have to start off understanding that the Bible passage is never written in isolation. Okay? When you read the text, you can't just pick a verse here and a verse there and draw the conclusion. You can't do that. You know that we'll never do that here at Sun Life, right? You can't go, well, this is the one verse that I'm going to land on and this is the conclusion. No. Scripture will never contradict Scripture. Scripture is never written in isolation. It must be read as a whole. What's going on here? So some of the good questions that we need to ask if we really want to understand the context will be things like this. Who wrote it? Who wrote this? Was it one of the apostles? Was it David? Prophets? Who wrote it? Why was it written? Why was this written? What's the occasion? What's taking place in the story of Israel? Who's the audience? Was it for the Jews or the Gentiles? Or was it for a church or an individual or a community of people? We've got to ask the simple question. Who's the audience? What's the genre? What's the genre? Is it a narrative? Is it like storytelling? Is it, you know, poetry? Is it a letter? Is it historical documents? What is the genre? Ask yourself that question. Maybe what's happening in the previous chapter? What's happening in the next coming chapters? And all these questions here gives us a better chance of understanding the context to what we are reading here. You've got to be very careful, you know, if you're following Jesus and you do the whole, you know, you turn the page and, okay, this is my reading for the day and you read that verse. Oh, be very, very careful. Because if you don't take your time to understand the context, that verse there can just lead you off on a tangent. You slow down. You ask yourself the question, who wrote this? You might want to do a bit of reading. You might want to just think it through. I mean, I found a very interesting verse here, Ezekiel 4:15. All right, the Lord said, you may bake your bread with cow dung instead of human dung. Okay, good luck if you land on that verse. I'm not coming to your house. But the whole idea is when you begin to look at the text, you have to ask yourself the question, what's the context? What's going on here? And that's very important if you want to study properly. Don't just go, God, would you speak to me through this verse? We need to avoid that type of Christianity. We need to slow down, ask some questions, do some research, figure out the context, and then we read. That's C, context. Here's O, observation. You know, as you read, right, you read slowly, and you trust that God's going to speak to you through His Spirit. And I know He does. He begins to highlight certain words or phrases or something pops out. It's like, wow, I've never seen that before. And you read it again and you notice there's a pattern. wow, you see there's words that's being repeated. Or you feel that God is, you know, honing you into a particular sentence. That's observation. You ask yourself these questions, you know, are there any contrasts? Is there a comparison between characters? Are there any imageries? You know, what is the text highlighting? What do you notice? What is the Spirit of God saying to you? And what you need to do is in the observation is you got to focus. You got to really concentrate. You can't just read it like a daily reading plan where sometimes, and I fall into this trap, where you just read it so that you've done it and you're off the hook and you go, you know what I mean? Like you enter into the text like it's like a daily chore. That if I read my chapter for the day, God will leave me alone. Just like kids, you know, when you do your chores and it's done quickly, your parents will leave you alone. Sometimes we've got to be careful that we don't enter into the text like that. That here's my daily reading plan. If I do that, God's going to smile upon me. You know, I'm going to have a great day and there'll be blessing upon blessing because I've done my 5 minutes of reading. No, that's not how we enter the text. We are to read slowly with no distraction. We are to make sure that we turn off our phones. No kids screaming in the background. Slowly, as we observe the text and allow God's Spirit to speak to us. That's the reason why I tend to like the old school paper Bible. Now, I've got nothing against the Bible on the phone, but I feel that sometimes if I'm doing a daily devotion on my phone, there's a very good chance there's a notification. There's a very good chance that I could just go and look at what's going on behind the scene and check out what my friends are doing on social media. I feel that sometimes maybe it's good to put this away, find a quiet place and open up a old school hard Bible with a pen and paper and read slowly. Concentrate and focus and, you know, and start highlighting and start writing things that you begin to observe. Holy Spirit is going to review you certain things. Can I just say this for all the single guys out there? I tell you right now, fellas, if you've got a Bible like this and you've got a lot of highlighting and notes and stuff, ooh, the girls, they dig it. Just find someone you like, sit next to her and open up the pages. Hey, look what I've been reading. Song of Songs. So you understand that when you read, you're to read slowly. You're to focus. You're to concentrate. You're to observe what God's Spirit is doing. That's O, observation. M, this part is hard. This is now meaning. You see, this is where if you're not careful, you get it all wrong. Because as you begin to observe what God's Spirit is telling you and highlighting to you, you've got to now figure out the original intent of that word or that phrase or that passage. You got to get to the original author's intent. You cannot jump to what you think it means today. Not yet. So you've got to make sure, you know, you're going, well, what is going on here? Discern what God is saying to us, the proper meaning of it. And that's where a good commentary or a good Bible dictionary or some good historical documents will always help you. Try to figure out the original meaning. Ask questions like, what does this passage teach me about God? What does it teach me about me? Yeah? What does it teach me about the place that I live in? What is God teaching me? And begin to fully understand the true meaning of the observation that the Spirit of God has highlighted to you. And when you get that, it's like this aha moment. Oh, I get it. The amount of time, and I'm not having a dig at anyone here, but the amount of time I've listened to someone take a passage out of context because they've got the meaning wrong, it's just so often, it frustrates me. We need to slow down. We need to study it well. We need to go, God, what is the meaning here? What is the original audience hearing? What is the author portraying? You get that meaning right, and it's beautiful. And so you need to slow down. You see how study is not done in 5 minutes? It's not done like that. It's a discipline where you go, I'm setting time aside to really draw close to God through His Word. I'm going to get my context right. I'm going to get God to really reveal to me an observation? What is he teaching me? Now I'm going to dig and get the original meaning. I'm going to do a bit of work there. I'm going to read around. And then finally, what we want to do is application. This last step is very, very important, friends, because the whole idea of study as a discipline is not for us to build our knowledge and that's it. The Apostle Paul once says that what knowledge puffs up. You don't want to be a Christian where you all know it all, like the Pharisees, but don't really have a transformed life. Because that's not the goal of the study principle. You are now to reflect and apply what God's Spirit has been saying to you. You begin to go, well, God, what are the areas that you want me to change? What are some of the practical steps that you are highlighting to me through the text? Maybe there is someone that needs to hear this, that you have to share. Maybe you have to repent and confess because God has spoken to you through the text. Maybe you need to get on your knees and start praying. Maybe the application is to put on some music and start worshiping. Application is so important because you're reflecting on what God has been doing in that moment of study, and now you're taking a practical next step. If you don't get to application, be careful, because it becomes just knowledge. It must lead to transformation. It must lead to someone who follows Jesus closely. And let me say this about application. Sometimes there's a tendency to think it's very individualized. It's very personal. Oh, it's all about me. But I want to say this, that a lot of time in Scripture, it applies to the people around us as well. Think about the people around you. Your spouse, your family, your children, your church, your friends, your colleagues, your community. What is God saying to you about the people around you? Act upon that. Live that out. That's koma. Context, observation, meaning, application. That's a framework for you, Sun Life Church, to apply this week here. Let me just finish off by saying this, that the end goal of all these spiritual practices, whether it's silence that we've studied, whether it's prayer or solitude or simplicity or fasting or even study this morning, the end goal is to taste and see that God is good. That we define joy in God, such delight in God, that we are transformed for the glory of God, that we become more like Jesus, we become the person Jesus would be if he were us. That's the end goal of spiritual discipline. Not to puff up, not to say, well, I'm more spiritual than you and I can fast for a week and I'm better than you because I've studied and I've found these gold nuggets that you can't find. Oh, you know, I live a simple life and I've sold all my wardrobe and I'm living with the same outfit for the entire year. No. You'd be smelly. I don't want to come near you. The end goal of spiritual discipline is to be more like the one we are following, and his name is Jesus. To do what Jesus would do, to behave like Jesus, to think like Jesus, to be Jesus in our community, starting with our family, the people we work with, the people that we serve, the people that God has placed us in. That's the end goal of spiritual discipline. May you take that framework of koma and try that this week. Context, observation, meaning, application. And may you study God and love him, not only in your heart and your soul, but also in your mind. And as you have more of God here, he will transform your mind. There'll be a renewal. And you'll find yourself being more and more like the one you're following, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen. Amen. Hey, let me pray for you. Father God, thank you. Thank you so much for just the joy of teaching your word and the joy of just helping everyone here love you more and more through your word. I pray for Sun Life Church, that all these disciplines that we have been learning over the last month and a half or so, that God, they are wonderful tools to help us experience you more and more. Lord, I pray for anyone here this morning where, yeah, they feel that, yep, they haven't really spent time in your word. And they're going to make that commitment. They're going to make the commitment as of this week to set time aside to really read and study your word. And I pray, God, it'll be life-giving. I pray, God, there'll be such joy and delight as they enter into the text, as they hear from your spirit, as they see their lives transform because they've spent time with you. Will you bless those beautiful people? And for those who are really doing this well, I pray against any spirit of arrogance or pride. I pray for more humility. Yeah, God, more humility. That they will just love you more and more through your word. And they'll be transformed more and more daily into the image of Jesus. Thank you so much. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. You know what we want to do now is we want to worship God. But we always create a moment for people to come for prayer. So as we worship God, I'm going to get some people to stand here and just to receive you in prayer. Maybe you want prayer that God will give you the strength and the tenacity to study. Maybe there is an area that you just need to ask God to help you. Come. We welcome you to come to receive prayer as we trust that God is here in this place here. He wants to meet you where you're at. He wants to encounter you. He wants to help you as you keep following His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. So, church, let's be upstanding. Let's respond through worship. And if you need prayer, you come forward right now. Maybe you're someone who says, yeah, Pastor, I want to make the commitment to read more. I need prayer. Come forward. Let's do that.